Welcome to the Lucra Podcast, where we're redefining wealth from the inside out. I'm your host, Mindy Kinnis, inviting you into real conversations on money, mindset, and meaning. Because true prosperity isn't just about the cash. It's about the life you're creating. Please share and enjoy. Welcome back, my friends. I am stoked for this conversation that we are about to have. I'm joined today by my relatively new friend, Jen Maleka. She is a health business expert and practitioner, so I'm really excited to get into all the nitty-gritty with her. Jen, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Yeah, it's like divine intervention that we recently met. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, just to give the viewer an insight into that, we sat down together and we're just like, so many commonalities and so many things to talk about. So I'm assuming that a lot of that will come up in this conversation. In order to get to know you a little bit and for our viewers to understand a little bit of your entrepreneurial journey, I'd wonder if you could start with just kind of how you got to what you're doing today and what that is.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny when you asked me that question as we were kind of prepping for this interview. My first memory that I went back to of being an entrepreneur, like I think I've always been meant to be an entrepreneur, was two really specific things. Is one, when I was a kid, I used to like create these like obstacle courses in our backyard with our swing set and like different things. And we had this beautiful chocolate lab, and he was like my circus dog of sorts. And I always came up, like thought of these like different things. And like we might say as kids, like there's the era of imaginary thinking. And yeah, we all did that in a sense, but I did this like it was my job, like it was competitive, right? And I was like the ringleader of like the kids that lived on our street. We lived on this cul-de-sac, and so we had no like issues with traffic coming through. We could just take over the entire street. And I was the ringleader to get people out doing bike races down the hill and like playing baseball out in the field. But really the first kind of like solid instance of being entrepreneurial was when I ran for like student body president in sixth grade.
Okay.
And my elementary school, our mascot was a dolphin. And I have this vivid memory of literally sitting down, and I had this poster board and I cut out 100 dolphins.
You were not messing around.
I was not messing around. And I wrote Jen for Prez, and I glued a little pin on the back of them and I handed them out. Like clearly, that's like the early signs of entrepreneurial, ship essentially happening. And, but I followed the kind of patriarchal, like back then track, and I went to college, got a standard degree in kinesiology, and went straight into the corporate world.
Me too.
And as a lot of us entrepreneurs do, we like in the beginning, we do the things that we think that we're supposed to do because nobody really taught us or encouraged us to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
Right. And then we die this like slow death in the corporate space.
Oh my gosh, Jen, exactly. I call it slow suicide to my soul.
Exactly. Well, literally for me at the age of 25, I got skin cancer. Like death showed up like at my door and was like, you don't do things differently, this is going to like kill you essentially. Mm-hmm. Like there was no rhyme or reason, like explanation for why I had developed skin cancer. Like there was no family history. I was working in the fitness industry. So I was like dieting and exercising, doing all the quote unquote right things. When I would go to the doctor, they would say my blood work looked normal and that I was a picture of perfect health, and they wished all of their patients looked like me. Right.
Wow.
And that's when I started to realize like something's not right here, like in so many levels. Like it was like something's not right about my education, like the kinesiology degree that I had obtained that supposedly told me everything there was to know about being healthy. In addition to like what was going on in my life and my workspace, I remember like towards the end of leaving my first corporate job, like I was working at 24 Hour Fitness. I was a general manager managing a multi-million dollar fitness facility, basically getting an MBA
right
at 24, 25. and making really good money. I mean, at the time, at 24, 25, I was making $75,000 a year. So, like, that equates now with inflation and all things to about 120K a year. I mean, imagine being 24, 25 and making that amount of money, like living in San Diego, pretty
I
awesome.
totally get it because that was exactly my experience in the corporate world of like making good amounts of cash in my 20s. And it's like, okay.
Yes. And you're living the dream. And at the same time, you're starting to feel totally burnt out and exhausted. And one day towards the end of this time frame at 24 Hour Fitness, like how I knew I had to get out was I am a runner. I would go running like a couple times a week in the morning, and I was out running one morning. And as soon as I turned in the direction of home, I just started bawling, like uncontrollably sobbing, because I didn't want to go to work.
Oh
It was
gosh, I
like
know that feeling.
so stressful. And one of my dear friends at the time, same age as me, like we actually graduated same time, she studied kinesiology also. She was working at 24 Hour Fitness. She was a manager at the other gym. We were like, we would go for walks, and I started telling her, I call her name's Brenda, I call her B, and she would call me Jay. And I'm like, B, like I really want to get out of here. Like I'm gonna like start a home training like business. I'm gonna go train people at hotels, because this was back in the early 2000s when that wasn't a thing yet. Like hotels didn't really have gyms and trainers. And I had this whole business idea, and she totally just killed it. She was like, Jay, you're crazy. You can't go do that. Because it was so uncommon back then in the like mid early 2000s to like be an entrepreneur. So then I jumped to another corporate career, and I got into corporate wellness, thinking like, this is going to be less stress. I'm going to have a bigger impact in the world. I'm going to work with employee populations, and I'm going to get them healthy. And it was exciting at first because it was new. And then that slow death over time
Showed up again.
showed up again. And I was hit with another one of those like light bulb moments. It's like December, I remember it so clear, like December 16th, in 2010. My husband and I just bought our first home together. We were about to get the keys. And I was gone because I was on a work trip. I was visiting one of our clients, and I had just landed at the Sacramento airport, picked up my rental car, and I get a phone call that my mom is in the hospital, and she's been in the hospital for 2 weeks, and she hasn't told anybody, and
Wow.
that she's in liver failure, and things don't look good. So I like pulled over. And immediately, like, called my husband in a, or my soon-to-be husband. We were not even engaged at this point in time, but he like had to arrange flights for me. I immediately turned around and went home. And once I got to my mom in like the tiny like hospital outside this tiny little hometown that she had outside of Santa Barbara, the doctor told me that she had an 80% chance of dying in the next 90 days. And I knew in that moment, if she was gonna live, that I was gonna have to like save her, that I was gonna have to do that. But I didn't really know how to do that living 6 hours away from her in San Diego. So what I did is I started going to the office early on Fridays so I could leave early and beat LA traffic to like spend as much time as possible with her over the weekend and try to like manage her care and all this stuff, because if anybody's had to work in the healthcare system, you know how just crazy, disorganized, and confusing that it is.
It's a mess.
And after a couple months of doing that, that employer fired me. But luckily, that was the kick in the ass that I needed to get serious about the business that I'd already been building on the side.
Love it.
As a health practitioner, after finding functional health medicine when I got diagnosed with skin cancer, and it was time to get serious about it. And I put everything that I had into that. And I'm so grateful that I did, because, you know, life continues to happen. So in 2023, my brother celebrated his 10 years of sobriety. And he told me for the very first time that what got him through those early days was feeling like I was right there doing it with him.
Wow.
And that was something that I was able to do because of the freedom that I had built into my business and my life as an entrepreneur on my terms, not working for somebody else. And that's why I'm so passionate now about guiding other health practitioners in the place of business so that they can create the freedom in their lives to be present for the moments that matter most. Because it's like, what is all this work for if we don't get to enjoy life?
Thank you.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly. So many entrepreneurs that I work with, I love that your dog's hanging out. So many entrepreneurs that I work with, it's like we have created this dream that then they have turned into a nightmare of they're constantly, overworking, overcommitting, over everything. And I'm like, this is of your doing. You created this. So you can also uncreate it. So what I'd love to know is like what are you doing now? What does your work look like? What is your business today?
I still do like the functional health practitioner work on the very minimal scale at this point in time. I just absolutely am passionate about working with people on their health, like doing lab testing and getting to really help them find the missing pieces of their health puzzle so they can actually fix whatever's going on with their body, like I've done with skin cancer and Hashimoto's and molds so many times with myself to actually, feel like your best self.
Right.
And I also love doing that because it keeps me in the experience of the practitioner, like boots on the ground, so that the majority of my focus can actually be in the side of business coaching other functional health practitioners on how to like scale their practice while also having freedom in their life. And while it's, incredibly important for any entrepreneur or any individual, even working in a corporate setting, to have freedom in their life, it is like a responsibility that functional health practitioners do this because we have a responsibility to show up 100% for our clients that we're working for, and we cannot do that if we have an empty cup. And we also have a responsibility to lead by example. When I work with my clients and I'm asking them to prioritize their self-care so that they can heal, I have to be doing it too.
Totally. The word that kept coming to mind while you were saying that was integrity. You know, like how can you expect them or tell them? It's like, the, I would say, regular allopathic medical people who are overweight, unhealthy, whatever, and they're giving someone,
Right.
I mean, maybe they wouldn't be giving nutritional guidance, but giving whatever guidance.
Well, they are.
And it's like, what, hello, like this does not translate. So I love that you're bringing that up, is the integration of you and your life, like what you're doing and how that then shows like how you can show up best for your clients. What do you find is the biggest challenge these entrepreneurs that you work with, clearly they're passionate people wanting the best, life and world for the collective. What's challenging, especially like right here and now?
Oh gosh, I think what's most challenging for especially these like functional health practitioners, but I think this is an extension of all entrepreneurs, is that they're empathic. And I say that because like in the health space specifically, like it's this empathic feeling of like we want to help everybody, we want to save everybody.
Yes.
And I think that that also strings into any entrepreneurial like kind of pursuit because I think that entrepreneurs in general are incredibly intuitive. And that's where they get this drive, this inspiration of all their entrepreneurial ideas. And kind of intuition and like being empathic go hand in hand a little bit because that intuition comes from feeling and sensing what's going on in the world around you that then fuels the wellspring, the inspiration of what are the ideas. And they get so like passion driven by the inspiration is that they like sacrifice themselves or they're trying to do too much at once. So they end up like doing a little bit of a lot of things, but like nothing really well because they're trying to attend to everything and everyone versus really like I mean, and then it comes down to like niching down, like getting really clear on where's the direct guiding light zone that you're going to work with in that is actually going to have the greatest impact, even though it feels like it's not right at the
Yeah.
beginning. Yeah.
I'm laughing because literally everything you just said corresponds so specifically and directly to the coaches that I work with. You know, they want to help everybody and help everything and do all the things. And I'm like, that's awesome. And let's bring it in so that, as you said, you can have the greatest impact, like on that narrow niche. And everybody fights me on that. Everybody fights me on, you know, their customer avatar. And I just want to help everybody. I'm like, I understand. And
Yeah.
not the best business model. Speaking of business model, I want to ask you this because you have a very interesting trait. Lots of us are either the visionary entrepreneur type or the implementer type. For our audience that might not be familiar with those terms, it's like the one with the idea, the inspiration, you know, the thought, the vision, versus the one who actually gets the stuff done. Oftentimes, those are not the same person. And I'm like decent at implementation. Thankfully, I can get a little bit of it done, but I'm definitely more on the vision side. And you are both. And I want to know how that shows up in your work and like how you maybe don't even need to balance that out, or like what does that look like? Because it's very uncommon.
I know. It's so funny. I'm an official unicorn. And
Totally.
gosh, how does that show up? Okay, so it shows up for me like this real 3D practical application. Yesterday I sat down to like have a glass of wine at 5:30, and I was like, oh, I need to execute these X things need to be done for the sales cycle that I'm in right now. And I know vision, like I can literally like visually see it in my head, and I know exactly what the whole picture looks like. And I went into my system on my CRM and was like, boom, 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 got it done in like 25 minutes. It's so clear to me. Or it shows up like my friend was telling me the other day about how amazing AI is to help you like organize your to-do list and to task things out. And she literally said to me, she's like, but you don't really need that because you kind of already just operate that
You have
way.
that in your brain.
Exactly. Like you should see my Asana board. And I do, like I sit down, actually I was going to do it this weekend, but every quarter I sit down and I look at the quarter ahead and I have the vision for what is going to take place. And I can map out the vision of like, here's the affiliate partners I need to work with, or the collaboration partners. Here's we're moving them into, you know, this specific like free training that I'm giving. The offer of this training is going to lead to this thing that I'm doing. Then the upsell is going to be here, and then I know exactly like what are all the technical pieces that need to go into play. And I am getting better about delegating those things to my team because I'm such a good implementer. Sometimes it just feels like it's easier and faster for me to do it. And I do love to be hands-on, but I'm getting better about delegating over.
Okay, I want to dig into that a little bit because that can be very difficult.
Yes.
For those of us, I mean, even though like I'm not the greatest implementer on the planet, it's still way faster and easier for me to do whatever it is that I'm doing versus delegating. So I want to hear your perspective on how you are navigating through that getting better at delegating thing, because I think a lot of people could use that.
Yeah, I definitely just know, and this is part of my personal design. It, you know, you look at things like the Colby Index or Myers-Briggs or human design, like this is the way that my design is that I do it hands-on myself first because I have to have a systematic like understanding of how it works, and then I can hand it off to someone.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So I have to then hand it off like faster is where my stumbling block could be. So like a great example of this is I have a social media assistant and she was with me since like 2020 before Reels really became a thing on Instagram, right? So when Reels became a thing, I could not for the life of me figure out in my head how to like delegate that over to her yet. until I got my hands in it. So once I got my hands in it and I did some reels for a while, then I was like, okay, I see how this can work now. Like, you figure out the trending audio, you figure out what the caption and the text is going to be, send me the thing, I'll shoot the video and drop it in the file box for you, and then you create it. Like, now that I understand how this world works, then I can delegate it off, basically.
Nice. That's reminded me of a conversation that I had on this show with a guy named Rock Thomas, and I really liked his idea of me, then we, then you. Like I need to, just like what you're saying, I need to get it first and wrap my head around it. Then I can like show you my vision of how I
Yes.
want that to work, and then like you can take that eventually and go do it.
I love that framework because I would say that with anytime I've onboarded a new assistant in my either of my businesses, that's exactly how it works.
Nice.
It's like I do it first, which helps to set kind of the frame for like what an SOP might look like.
Yep.
Then I can hand it over to a team member. They'll do it, but they're still having me check it to make sure it's done right. And once we go through that a couple times, then it's like, all right, you own this.
Totally.
Off to you, you know. But I will say, just like what's funny is that being a unicorn like this, I have worked in many capacities with so many visionaries, everything from being like a fractional CMO for an organization to now in the business consulting work that I do, like some functional health practitioners will hire me as a consultant to come in. And they are, because their challenge is that they're the visionary. They don't understand the implementation, the integration side of it, right? And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just knowing what your, strengths and weaknesses are and hiring the people to come in for your weaknesses so that you can stay within your zone of genius and your strengths,
Totally.
right?
What of all the things, because you've got a lot going on over there. What of all the things, what is the piece of it that brings you absolute like most joy, like not just the zone of genius, but zone of genius plus joy.
Oh,
Like
God.
what's the Zen, the Venn diagram of like where those pieces intersect? Like what's the prime piece?
I mean, I think the thing that just re-energizes me that I could do all day, every day is like laser coaching in my business community.
Yes, I love it.
That is like my favorite thing ever. And we do it, I have like in my group programs, like we're doing it a couple times a month. I just implemented these new kind of like 3-hour business success planning workshops where I'm teaching them what I'm doing in my business. Like, we're going to look at the quarter ahead. We're going to see where you at are revenue wise right now. We're going to come up with the actual like strategies that you're going to execute daily, weekly, like monthly to get to where your next like money milestone is, basically.
Nice.
And I bring them up for like 3 to 5 minute laser coaching, and I could just do that forever, like all day long.
Totally get it. Yeah, coming out of an experience like that, having that boost of just all that goodness internally, my husband always called that post-coach glow because like I'd be like coaching somebody and then I'd be, just as you're saying, like you can do it forever. It's so energizing, it's so amazing. And then he'd be like, "Oh, you got your post-coach glow on."
Yes. I'm probably like that too. We just did a 2-day virtual event. It was like 6 hours each day. And I was like basically the MC, and I'm like laser coaching. And the team was like, you need a break. I'm like, no, I'm fine.
I'm good, baby. Let's go.
It's
Awesome.
just tap my vein. I'm in, like, we're good.
I hear you. I hear you. I'm the same way. So, on this show, I have a framework that helps people who are watching or listening get the details around like how all this stuff works for you. I think it's very helpful for people to get like almost a visual of, what your day looks like and different things like that. So this acronym is called HERB, HERB. I'm going to walk you through each step. We'll go one by one. The H stands for habits. What are some of your habits that really sustain and support the productivity that you have and also like reaching those visions that you have created?
So first and foremost is my daily like self-care routine. And
Okay, what does that include?
yeah, I was going to get into the details. I'm like, so my mornings are dedicated to 100% me until at least 9 or 10 a.m. Like,
Nice.
I'm up at 5:30. It's so, and I'm so routine. I'm so regimented, which is part of my human design. So it's also a little bit of a unicorn on that design element. But it's like I'm up at 5:30. I'm in the gym by 6. I take this dog back here for a cool down spin around the block. Basically, I do a detox bath in the morning time, take my supplements, prep my coffee, and then on Mondays, very specifically, I actually go down to the beach and I meditate for about 30 minutes on Mondays. Tuesday, I do that. I run to the beach and then I sit there and I meditate for a minute because that's kind of my grounding place. And then I'll usually have my first call or kind of take work at like 9, somewhere between 9 and 10, basically. And in the middle of the day, I most days have my lunch break is like 90 minutes, knowing that I might slide a little bit into it or like cut it short a bit so that I can give myself a nutritious meal, take a mental break, and also go for another like 15, 20 minute spin around the neighborhood with the doggo. And in the evening, I get done anywhere between 6:30 and 7. I really find that my energy for like one-on-one client sessions is the best, like 2:30 till about 6:30. So I get done at 6:30, cook myself a nice meal. We go for a family dog W at that time. Can't say the word because
Right,
it's
right. I totally knew what you were doing.
yeah. And then I do a detox routine at night, which right now entails like nebulizing some glycine and a coffee enema and taking a shower before I hit the pillow at 9:45.
Wait, hold on. A coffee enema? Does that and the caffeine does not impact your sleep?
Some people it does. Some people more sensitive than others,
Okay.
but for me, it's like
Like,
it
I'm a
all.
big fan of a coffee enema. I love them, but I
Yes.
don't know that I would do it at night.
Yeah, it actually stimulates your parasympathetic nervous system and vagal tone as well too. So it can be very
Amazing.
relaxing. Yeah.
Very
Yeah.
cool. I might have to test it out.
Also, when I binge watch my favorite shows, at 30 minutes a time while I'm like doing my coffee enema, that's when I get in my TV time.
What are you watching these days?
What am I watching these days? Well, Ginny and Georgia, is that what it's called? Ginny and Georgia just came on Netflix, back on
Okay.
Netflix. So that's on. And The Residence,
I haven't seen it yet.
so with the lady from Orange is the New Black. It was like the bipolar lady in there. So it's so fascinating for me to see her in this type of role as like a detective in the show. And it's like real kitschy funny. So highly recommend.
Nice. Nice. All right. So let's move on to the E. The E in herb stands for environment. And while I can see I was commenting to you earlier about how I love the color of your walls, and I can see, a little bit of your space, but like, how do you set up your environment best for work? And that could be your office, your home, car, whatever. Like, talk to me about your environment.
Yeah. When I'm here and ho at home, I mean, this space that you're seeing right now has been cultivated over the years. I mean, I could show you all the walls. There's like crystals and plants and all kinds of things, natural light happening in here. What has been really helpful for me is hardwiring my computer.
Yeah.
So I have no Wi-Fi in here at
Oh
all.
my
And
gosh, I wish I didn't have any Wi-Fi. That's amazing.
yeah, it's a huge, it made a huge difference for me in my afternoon energy. And sometimes I will flip on my Wi-Fi to, I don't know, airdrop something from my phone and I'll forget to turn it off. And then I'll feel it, like I'll forget. And I go, God, I'm feeling kind of drained. I'm like, oh crap, left my Wi-Fi on.
Wow.
So I've had somebody come out to my house and kind of do all of the like voltage readings around our home and minimize the voltage in here as much as possible. And blue blockers are a lifesaver. I don't leave home without them. So anywhere that I'm traveling for work, I travel a lot, by the way, whether it's work conferences or for pleasure. My EMF protective clothing and my blue blockers are lifesavers.
I love that. I'm gonna kind of segue just briefly here to talk about travel. For me, travel, while it's fun and enjoyable, obviously that's where we met in Arizona at CHS, and it's also very, I would say, disruptive to my energy because I'm similar to you. I'm very routined. I'm like, I got, my stuff and my space and like how I normally do things. And then travel tends to very much disrupt that. Do you find that, or have you found a way to better maybe transition from, work, travel to home to wherever else you're going? How does that work for you?
Yeah, I'm the opposite of you. So
Good, I can learn from you then.
I like literally crave travel. When I started working from home, my husband was still working in the corporate space, and I realized real quick, I was like, if we don't leave for like a weekend, a month, I'm gonna lose my shit here. Like, I'm gonna go stir crazy.
Wait, hold on. Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
On the Briggs, I'm an extrovert.
Okay, so that answers part of that.
And I'm also, I think this is where it's really interesting as an entrepreneur to get into your design from all these elements, like understanding your Briggs to your Colby to like my human design. I get a lot of my inspiration from experience. So I think that's where my desire to be out in the world to travel. Like I could go to Paris. I will take long weekends to Paris. Like I will leave San Diego on a Wednesday night and get to Paris on a Thursday, and I'll fly home on a Monday.
Oh my gosh.
That is like the best thing to me. And all I want to do is sit, in a cute little cafe on a cobblestone corner and sip coffee espressos in the morning and then wine in the evening. And like people watching is like my favorite pastime, right?
Right.
But on that point, like I think where I thrive with it, Mindy, is that I have learned to take my routine on the road. So being on the road does not break my routine at all. I'm still
Oh,
up
that's
with
good.
the sun. I'm still moving my body in the morning time. We've created the balance when it comes to like checking email. So it's really nice. Like when we're in Europe, it's like you kind of check email in the morning time, just like check the boxes, go out and explore, adventure. Come back in the afternoon when it's like everybody in the Europe is taking a siesta anyways, and kind of like clear the inbox, and then you go back out in the evening time for a nice dinner. Like
Nice.
works perfectly in my mind. We do that. We like spend part of our time in Maui also, and that's the same routine that we have there. So the hardest part of being on the road is like where I'm sitting with you right now. I have dual monitors, so I'm hyper productive on multiple screens. It slows me down a little bit to be on like just my singular like
Like
laptop,
a smaller screen, yeah.
but still doable,
Nice, cool. Well, let's go to the R. The R in herb is resources. Now, that can be books, courses, programs, whatever, any kind of resource that you have found super valuable in your own journey as an entrepreneur, in something in personal development, whatever comes to mind. But I'd love to hear a few of your top recommendations for resources.
So I'll say one of my favorite books, which every entrepreneur needs to read, is 10X is Easier Than 2X by Dr. Ben Hardy.
That book changed my life. It truly did.
And don't just you're like I read it. I have gone through it twice, Audible, but I also like my assistant read it, and she started showing up going, "Is that a 10X activity for you? Should I be doing that?" And I was like, shh.
Nice.
Yes, right. I think that being part of community is incredibly important because it can feel very much like you're on a deserted island, like we all do. And it's as extroverted as I am when I'm at home, I'm like a super introvert. Like I don't go out with my friends. Like this is like my, I think that's also how I strike that balance of travel is that when I'm home, it is my
Like
rest,
rest.
decompress, like reset time. But community is incredibly important. And so my community right now is I'm a part of Bo Eason's mastermind group. And that's been huge for me. Just really honing in on my own personal story and experiences as a tool to inspire others is been priceless. And just that community is such high integrity, and you know, it may not be the thing for everybody, but finding a community like that for yourself, for
Yeah,
sure.
Bo's a great guy as well. So I imagine that his group reflects all that.
And I think at different stages of our personal and entrepreneurial growth, we're just going to need different things at different times. I've been part of many different communities, but I think that just the takeaway is community of a sense, you know.
Yeah, and that is a very valid point about different things at different times. As soon as you mentioned 10X, I was like, oh yeah, like I used to be on Strategic Coach with Dan Sullivan, and I'm not currently. So, different areas, which is so great. So the B in ERB, this is one of my favorite parts of this acronym. B stands for beliefs. What are the foundational or core beliefs that you hold that have allowed you to create the success that you've created, build those visions into reality that you have? Like, what are some of those guiding forces?
Well, I want to thank you for reflecting for me what this is going to be earlier is integrity. Like you picked up on that like right away, and that I would say is my number one core value. And so when I really like think about that, that's being integrity with myself. Right? Noticing when I'm out of alignment or doing something out of alignment for myself. It's being in integrity when I'm working with others. And when you're in integrity with yourself and what it is that you're doing and the work that you're doing with others, that's going to lead to the abundance, right? It's
It's just
just
so much easier.
so much easier. And another way that I like to think about that is, you know, how that also shows up for me is like independence.
Yes.
So one of the things that I've been saying lately, kind of as an inspiration that happened through some of my work with Bo, is that freedom is a state of mind and independence is a state of being. So, you know, Viktor Frankl in A Man's Search for Meaning, he talks about freedom being a state of mind. You know, when you're in a concentration camp, like how do you still be free? It's a mindset. But like independence to me is a state of being. Like he couldn't get up and leave that place.
Yeah, I like
And
that distinction.
and so independence is being able to pick up and go do whatever you want whenever you want to. And I had a beautiful revelation about this, which probably connects in with one of the resources, is I do invest in a lot of spiritual mentors and resources like that. And I had a beautiful reflection on this recently that one of my mentors said, she's like, independence used to be a survival mechanism for you. Now it's a choice. So I grew up with an alcoholic mom. And when you're a child of an alcoholic and an adult child of an alcoholic, that independence is critical for your survival. I
Totally.
was the oldest, you know, daughter. And so I had to be independent to survive. And like, but this stage of my life where I'm at now, that independence is a choice. I get to choose independence.
Yeah, well, especially in the context of what you said earlier with community being such a powerful part of your life and your work, being able to choose that independence within the supportive structure that you have created, I think is an awesome dynamic.
And within the vision of what you want your life to be. Right? Like the independence to work when you want to and take whatever trips that you want to, or, you know, be independently like financially stable, like whatever you want.
That's it exactly. Exactly. This is what I love talking with, why I love talking with you, because everything that you're saying is like, yes, I say this stuff all the time. Exactly. Tell me about, what you just said, what you want. What do you want in your current state of being right now? Like, what's the next thing on the horizon for you, or what's the next vision or goal that you would want to create?
I think from a professional perspective, not I think I know, but where I'm feeling like this deep, hardcore desire is literally to transform the standard of care in the healthcare system.
I know you spoke so passionately about that at CHS, and I was like, can you, I would actually like you to talk a little bit more about that, just so this audience can hear what you mean by that.
Yeah. So we have this concept of functional medicine that's been around since 1990 when Dr. Jeff Bland kind of grandfathered it back then. And we're hearing a lot about this in the current like media and political arena, right? With RFK and
Yes.
different things that are happening in the MAHA Commission and movement. And so there's this clinical evolution that's been happening for a long time. So functional medicine has really been about the clinical applications of different types of lab testing and understanding that lifestyle, nutrition, all of that impacts a person's state of health, right?
It's very holistic.
Very holistic. And where I see that there's still a gap is that it's also in the service structure. So, how do we actually engage people in the process of health transformation? Because there's a difference between information and education. There's a lot of information, there's a lot of education, a lot of books, a lot of courses that people can do in the concepts of functional medicine, for example. But how do you actually engage people in the process of health transformation? So nobody gets better in one appointment or a handful of labs or even a handful of appointments, right? And what it really takes to transform your health is time and support and guidance. And I think we have to bring transparency to the health system around this and say, let's stop lying to people or not being transparent out of integrity. Like these 15-minute appointments or 20-minute appointments, you come in, you get a conversation, even in the functional medicine space right now, like these providers are providing these like 30-page reports of detailed lab testing and recommendations, and these people are being sent home not knowing what to do with it and being set told like, we'll see you in, 3 months or even in once a month, and that's not enough. So how do we actually raise the standard of care? Well, we actually have to structure services the way that we work with people and the construct of appointments that is going to transform them. It's going to help pace them and guide them through the process. And it's so interesting to me because other industries know this. Like I came from the fitness industry, right? And somebody doesn't expect a personal trainer to help them lose weight
In one session.
in one session. So, like, why do we expect that that's going to happen from a health perspective? People need, like in the personal training world, people come in, they work with a trainer 2 or 3 times a week to get to their results. Chiropractors know this too. Like if you have, somebody that's body is really beat up, you got to see them like more consistently over a couple of sessions to like really get that body back in alignment. Then you move them out into maintenance. And that's what it takes in like health transformation as well too,
You know what's
basically.
so interesting to me, though? It's the same way. Like, I'm coming from the financial perspective. When I work with traders and even entrepreneurs to some extent, they think that like their money challenges or limiting beliefs or even like, oh, I just need to learn how to trade, and then like by tomorrow they're going to be a millionaire. That's not how it works, and you
Right.
have to work with all of this stuff. So it's very interesting that like in some aspects of health, like you just mentioned, it is set up to be that winning system that gives the guided support, all of that along the way. And then in some other aspects, you know, of medical, it's just not.
Right. And we got to sit in a room with, Callie Means and recently at that meeting. And had there been more time to ask him questions, one of the things that I see as a possibility for the future is actually incentivizing practitioners and consumers to go outside the traditional system because the current healthcare system is the incentives are not aligned for preventative care to ever survive there, or even chronic
100%.
disease management. So, what the traditional system is really good at, as it always has been, is acute emergency care.
Right.
So, how
My arm
do
is falling off. Let's fix it.
we? Right. And so, it's not, I don't really think it's about changing the current system. I actually think it's about creating a new system.
Oh, nice. That's so
A
much, that's
new,
better.
and I was thinking about this the other day. So, I think you'll love this is Think about all other types of insurance that we might acquire in our life, right? Like you have car insurance, homeowners insurance, you've got business insurance. There's no other insurance out there that you pay for, it takes care of maintenance, right? Like car insurance doesn't take care of maintaining your oil or your tire rotations. All other insurances are designed for those catastrophic events, those emergency situations. And that's really what the concept of insurance was originally for, which also then creates responsibility for us as car owners to maintain our cars so they don't break down on the road, right? So we have to realign incentives, but we also have to like create a structure that will actually engage people, help them change their health because they need the guidance. Like it doesn't just happen. And in anything in life, like you're saying, we want to ride a bike, we want to learn how to do anything. It takes time.
Yeah, but I won it yesterday. Yes, I know. And right, Jen. Well, I have one final question for you. When I started this show, it really was about my own journey of like trying to figure out money as an entrepreneur and like healing some financial issues that I had had in my own life. So one of the things that I started asking every guest on this show was, how would you define wealth?
Oh gosh. I love that you asked this question because I think we all have a different definition of success or wealth.
Exactly, which
And
is
so,
why I love asking everybody, like, tell me
yes.
yours.
And so I like to reframe this for people because we get so hung up on the dollar, like the money element of it, right? And that's like you said, like it's tied to so much money, generational money stuff, like all kinds
Tough.
of things. So it's like if we were to strip away the context of money from the definition of wealth or success, what does that look like for you? So for me, that is like that independence, like having complete independence to pick up, hop on a plane, go visit, do whatever I want, like be like working in joy all the time. I'm never going to be one of those people that doesn't work. So it's just not how I'm, configured. And it's just living the most joyful life ever. Like I get so much joy out of my self-care routine. Like the more that I can do those things, that to me is wealth, that I have the ability to do those things.
I love it. That's so very tied into what I would say as well. It's like the freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whomever you want, all of those things, having all of those choices. If our audience is interested in learning more about you, learning more about your work, where would you like them to go?
I love to hang out over on Instagram and interact with people over there, share information and just chit chat. So you can find me over there as Holistic Health Boss with a W. So it's WH, like whole
Holistic,
food.
okay.
And that's also my website where we can connect as well too. I've got a newsletter from the health perspective, also for business perspectives for those health practitioners that are out there and content over there. Also, so yeah, thank
Awesome.
you.
Well, Jen, this has been fantastic. I've enjoyed getting to know you even more, and I know that my audience will be delighted with this conversation as well. So thank you so much for your time and energy right here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.